everyone, and welcome to Disney Magic Hour, episode number 167. We are here today, and by we, I have a few friends with me. We're going to talk about the new 2019 Disney movie, Aladdin. Joining me today, as always, I have Mr. Pete. Hello, Pete.
Hello, Pete.
Hi, we have some guests with us. Let's start. Number one, we have Mr. Adam Corbett. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Thank you for coming on. We also have a special guest who's visited us, I think, before, at least once, Mr. Nick Groom. How are you?
What's up, guys?
And he brought along with him a lovely partner, his wife, Nicole Groom. How are you, lady?
Hi, I'm good.
Very nice. And I dragged a family member to this party. We have with us Mr. Andrew Claudio. How are you?
What's up, everybody?
How are you? I said.
I'm good. How are you, Cousin Melissa?
Good. Thank you. Thank you for asking. that was our little intro to everybody who's joining the party. And who are we? We are LastGenPodcast.com. You can find us on Twitter, DizMagicHourPod. I'm there sometimes, not really often. But you can find us on Instagram at DisneyMagicHourPodcast. And of course, you can find all of these wonderful people in our Facebook group, chitting and chatting away, sharing stuff. And we got some good stuff to talk about today. Before we talk about the movie, though, and before we get into some gossipy news, I'm going to let you know that this episode, as long as every episode, is brought to you by MEI Travel. Becky and her team is going to help you get off to some really adventurous stuff. We have some exciting lands opening up this summer, specifically in Disneyland. We have Galaxy's Edge opening up in 5 days, and later this summer we'll be going to Disney World's Galaxy's Edge. But if you want to go there, if you want to take a cruise, if you want to go anywhere around the world, definitely contact Becky at mei-travel.com, and she and her team will get you started on your adventure. All right, speaking of worlds far, far away, we have some newsy, gossipy stuff to talk about.
Well, yeah, all right. We're going to talk about some news towards the Star Wars land world of things. So, previously announced, Iger and Co. released the new slate for the next 7 years of Disney film releases. And on that was a new trilogy for Star Wars starting in 2022 and then releasing every 2 years afterwards. And that was it. That was all that was on there. So take that into mind and keep everything with a grain of salt as we go forward with this. BuzzFeed News.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's the source that really... And I'm sorry, someone can... Melissa, I know you're going to say, like, BuzzFeed's okay now. They're not.
Not saying BuzzFeed's okay. I'm saying BuzzFeed News has had some actually good reporting done. It's not, like, the
not
BuzzFeed brand.
But it is the BuzzFeed brand. It's literally from the same company. So take this all with a grain of salt, because after saying they weren't going to be doing any other movies, they are reporting that they are going to be doing other movies. Basically, a new film circled around Knights of the Old Republic. Now, look, for all we know, Leta, I'm not going to say her last name correctly, Kayla Grittis, she's supposedly working on the screenplay. Now, she might be working on the screenplay for the Game of Thrones folks who have been said by Disney, by Lucas, to be attached to that new trilogy. So she might just be writing the thing that they're producing, and then someone else is directing it, and that's where Johnson comes into it, and that's where everything is all tied in. This could be a non-news thing because they are just reporting it from a different point of view, which actually is kind of Star Wars, now that I say it out loud like that. So they're the big confirmation that we've ever heard towards something KOTOR, Knights of the Old Republic, related was Kathleen Kennedy back in April at Celebration when she said, quote, "Yes, we are developing something to look at," which is the most lawyer answer that she could have given, because she can't answer those questions, but people are dumb and they answer those questions. So
tell me the entire plot for your next five
basically
episodes.
Anything that includes, hey, it's Q&A time with the audience, you can leave the panel at that point, because that's the kind of questions you're going to get. So there's an idea that you can look at that this is going to be what's coming up for that trilogy. We just don't know. The reason why I will give it some validity is because Star Wars, particularly Lucasfilm, for all their talk and their on-screen look of like, hey, women are in sci-fi too, Hey, no woman ever seems to direct and or produce and or write anything related to Star Wars in the cinematic world. And maybe this is like that bridge that at least a woman is writing the new trilogy that will be produced and directed by other folks. I don't know. I personally don't care. I just want the stories to be good. So we'll see. We're going to have to just see what goes on with this. But Knights of the Old Republic is a very beloved sort of section of untouched Star Wars so far. And as much as I am very, very tired of everything seemingly wanting to go backwards with prequels, like even, you know, Game of Thrones just ended and they're like, we're going to go backwards. I'm like, do we really have to? Because we know where major pieces fall in the future, which really robs some stuff of drama.
Yeah.
Now, the thing that I'll say in defense of if they want to do a Knights of the Republic, which takes place thousands of years before what we've seen so far, is now that the extended universe is no longer in play from what was already established, there is a massive galaxy that you can, God forbid we would ever go into that galaxy beyond like six characters. But if you wanted to, you can go into this massive galaxy and things can happen that have no effect on the stories that we've been told so far.
Yeah.
Because in the current continuity, the oldest story that exists is I guess it's Dooku Lost Jedi, because that's partially flashbacks of when Dooku's a child. That would be the furthest we go back. And all that we know of the Old Republic, according to what we have in front of us right now, is the Sith and the Jedi existed, and the Jedi won. Spoilers, that's kind of like you would assume that's an anyway thing. So you can tell whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where that ground is okay for me. Nick, I know you're a big KOTOR person as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that we get this. And with what Star Wars was doing prior to Solo and the lashback from that, with different types of Star Wars movie, like Solo being a heist film and, you know, having just those different genres of Star Wars films, I hope this is kind of a Lord of the Rings fantasy type deal that they build on. I could really get down with something like that, and seeing just all that old all the old cool stuff we saw in the prequels but kind of had past its prime. I would love to see that, like back when it was being built, these giant statues of Jedi. Like, I mean, we have huge statues. How did they get there? Like, at what point were the Jedi so, like, wealthy? Well, yeah, but, like, I want to know about that.
No,
I want to know.
I would like to know when the Jedi weren't dumb, because they've been largely, like, kind of terrible at their jobs in the films that we've seen. They're not great at what they do. They cause a lot of problems, but it wasn't always like that. But you know what? That takes 1,000 years. There's another example I could go into, but we're not going to. Like, you know, this is something that I would like to see, is like, what were the Jedi like when they were effective?
Yeah, it's similar to like how we got, you know, the pitch from Filoni and Favreau for The Mandalorian, you know, being very like Western samurai, like theme kind of thing going on. So like, if you're going to set like a fantasy in like legit sci-fi, you know, realm, like that would be really cool. Like, give me, you know, like cool knight looking spacemen, like that would be really fun.
You know what's actually kind of crazy sci-fi looking? The prequels.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, we just revisited that.
I'm revisiting those right now, and it's specifically Phantom Menace, which is weird. That movie has a lot of weird things in it, and while some of it's not written particularly well, visually it's pretty impressive. Phantom Menace, of the three prequels, that's the one that actually has the most non-CG elements. Why can't I think of the word?
Practical,
thank you. That actually has the most practical effects of the trilogy. And when you jump directly from Phantom Menace to Attack of the Clones, it is just horrifyingly obvious how much they pivoted to full CG environments. But I'll buy that Obi-Wan stuff in Attack of the Clones any day of the week. But yeah, so that's some KOTOR, you know, that's some Star Wars news, but we don't really know if it's news, because if we reported everything that I read like this.
Although now I finally understand the KOTOR acronym. So.
Isn't it a good acronym, though? It's like a lot of acronyms kind of suck, but KOTOR, that's real helpful, because Knights of the Republic is sort of a mouthful.
But it just sounds like something completely different. Like, it sounds like a board game I should be playing. Like,
there is a KOTOR board game, so this actually all ties in really well together. Or at least as an RPG.
Video games.
And there are some great old games. Yeah, I mean, KOTOR, the real big pull of it was there was a series, there were two of them, correct?
Yeah.
There were two Knights of the Republic video games, and they were really good.
But can you play them, like, now?
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. They're on GOG, and I think they're all on Steam, and they're super cheap. Actually, you can play the first KOTOR on your iPad?
Yeah. They have it for iOS, yeah.
Yeah, it's on iOS, because at this point, that game came out 20 years ago, somewhere around there. So yeah, so like you can pick up that game now and you can play it on your phone if you'd like to, which is hysterical because I had to build the computer for that to work when I first played it.
It's $10 on iOS, by the way,
and that's 100% worth it. Like, don't go in there looking for, you know, the visuals of the century, but it's a really fun game.
It's
a really fun game.
It's like a BioWare game, like that whole, like, you choose your own path, and based on what you're doing, your character's physical appearance will change from a Jedi to a Sith. His eyes will start turning, his skin starts getting pale. It's really cool.
They haven't gotten that right in a Star Wars game since, which is kind of amazing.
Yes. It's not that complicated either.
It doesn't seem that complicated because it works on my iPhone, evidently, now, like, for $10. And then, of course, we have, you know, the other Star Wars-related news is that we're not doing anything. Disneyland is opening up Galaxy's Edge in just 5 days, and the excitement for that is pretty large, pretty rabid,
amped up.
And I'm obviously we're not going to be at the one over there. We will be for the opening in Orlando, which is another 3 months from now. But 3 months doesn't seem like a lot, very much, and I just cannot wait to see how it goes, and I'm excited to see people's reactions to Smuggler's Run. I really wish both attractions were opening, but hey, we are one step closer to having a full realized Star Wars experience, and I'm game.
Yeah, and they released the maps, they released the digital updates, even the Disney World app. When we were in Hollywood Studios yesterday, we were looking for food options, and all the food options were on the app already. There's a lot. I didn't realize how many there were. There's like four of them that pop up.
Oh, were we looking in the mobile order section when
I
you
was
saw
looking?
Those?
No, I was looking under just like dining in Hollywood Studios. But the fact that they were there 3 months early was kind of fun. It was also fun that they still called Woody's Lunchbox new when it's now a year old. And I'm like,
right, sure,
not anymore.
So y'all gonna buy a $25,000 R2 droid?
No, I'll go for the lightsaber though.
Is that how much? Can you? Are they
25
selling?
$25,000, fully customized, remote-controlled R2 droid.
I feel like there are some 501st people who build it for less, but
they build it for less, but they also spend years of their life building that one thing. We know some. I mean, Kyle Fisher is, you know, I don't know if he built the droid yet, but
I think he
built his Vader.
He built R2.
Okay. And, I mean, he put years of work into that. So for not having to do it yourself and being able to kind of customize your own thing. And, hey, word has it that a lot of rich white people love Disney.
That's true.
I read that somewhere. So guess what they have?
Money
to burn.
Someone
will buy it just for a status thing to be like, hey, I was one of the first people to buy it. You know, that's, you know,
it'll sell day one. Day one, somebody will do
absolutely. Yeah, there's someone who's riding the back of their help to Galaxy's Edge so they don't have to walk. Ugh. That will, you know, obviously be doing that.
That's very true. But no.
But I'll be spending $200, hopefully, on opening day on my own lightsaber. So I'm just as dumb as they are.
Yeah, they released those price points. And actually, that wasn't really too bad. $200 was kind of where we figured the lightsaber would be. $100 for the personalized droid.
Uh-huh.
So not too bad.
Personalized droid for $100, the small ones, I think that's totally reasonable.
Yeah, because they're like they're a good size. They're like, you know, like good 6 or so inches.
Audio. Oh, there we are. Okay.
Wasn't BB-8 like when he came out, the remote control BB-8? Wasn't that like $100 anyway? The iOS one.
Yeah, pretty
sounds
sure.
About right,
a buck
yeah.
or a buck 50.
Yeah. So a custom one for $100, I'll take it.
Yeah, you can swap out the personality chips. It'll interact with the land. So like all that stuff is really cool. Like I think a couple investments like that are worth it.
Especially if they can do that thing where they're talking about how all of the stuff you do ties into your character. If all of these things continue, I kind of dig that.
Well, somebody actually, I think
love that.
Sarah was looking at something yesterday when we were in Hollywood Studios, and there was an update to the Disney Play app, mm-hmm. and it asked for connectivity to a Bluetooth device. Mm. So we're thinking that that might have to do with stuff that's in Galaxy's Edge, because the app had all the...
You'd have to connect via your... Okay.
Yeah, sure. I don't know how technology works, but that was one of the things in the updates that she was reading. And it was interesting.
All right. I can't wait. I'm trying to hold my excitement, because I am fully understanding that August is going to be gross weather. Disney hasn't really unveiled a plan that sounds well thought out yet. Disney World.
Yeah.
And yeah, Nicole is shaking her. Like, Nicole, is there anything?
I'm dreading the whole experience of getting up at like the butt crack of dawn and sitting in a line for hours and just sweating bullets because it's already 80 degrees or 100 degrees outside.
Yeah, that's the thing that it cannot. I cannot accept that they think this is where it's going to go.
Yeah, especially after everything with Celebration. Hopefully Disneyland, goes so smoothly. They figure something out for Disney World, so this way they can prevent all of that stuff. Because, the big thing with Celebration was no lining up. The big thing with Disneyland is no lining up. So it's like, I don't understand why
they're
not...
Well, they will be lining up, but not, like... It's not, Also, you're not going there wondering, well, am I going to get in here today?
Yeah,
like,
you have your
stuff.
What time
do I have to get here? Do I have to get here at 9 o'clock the night before to line up? Because you have a time.
Yeah.
You have a time to arrive, and it's all settled. Like, everything's settled for the first 2 weeks of Galaxy's Edge. And if Disney World just has it where it's like, see you then, that's just dumb.
They're waiting to see how the Disneyland goes.
I hope so.
That's going to be a test, and they're going to build off that. And then you're not going to hear anything until a couple weeks, maybe about a month from now.
I want to believe that, but you're also then asking the infrastructure for whatever plan they come up with to be built and implemented in 3 months.
Well,
they have a hard time handing out pass holder magnets. I think we need to remember that.
Location keeps changing.
Right?
True.
Don't put those on your car also. This is the thing that I have to tell human beings. Don't put a magnet on your car in the heat. It's not meant for that. It's meant for your fridge. People are complaining that, oh my God, it got
stolen.
It's meant
for my car so everybody can see that I'm a pass holder. That's what it's meant for.
That's insane. People are complaining like, oh my God, it's taking the paint off my car. Well, yeah.
You put something on your car.
You put a magnet on your car. What do you?
No,
what?
I don't complain about that. I complain about when people steal them.
Hey, if you live in Florida, people are less apt to steal them because we just don't care anymore.
Yeah, because we all have them. But yeah, no. If you live anywhere else, I can't tell you how many antenna toppers I got stolen when I lived in New York.
Does anybody have an antenna anymore?
Also, that's an old thing. Yes.
Yeah.
Thanks for telling me I'm old, Nick.
When it was automatic, stop yourself.
I'm just joking. No, I remember the automatic things. They wouldn't work on that either. All right. So Galaxy's Edge, Star Wars, cool.
Yes. There's more to come, obviously, as that happens.
Yeah, we'll be talking about it. Andrew, you should make a trip down.
I will. I can't say this is up my alley with Star Wars, but...
But now Ryan lives here, and we can have fun.
Yeah, to give you a little of an exhale with $200 on a action figure, Pete, I spent $200 on a Jets game last year and they lost 41-10. So you're getting much more for your value than I did of that.
That's why I stopped going to Ranger games, because for me and Melissa to go to a Ranger game, it would cost us on the average about $300-$350. And I was like, yo, I'm not spending that much money to maybe watch them lose.
Yeah, Mets opening day this year, my buddy spent $350 on tickets, and they didn't score. So, there are worse ways to spend $200.
Don't forget, man, I still haven't seen the Mets win in person since they played the Brewers, and Castillo hit a walk-off single.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was 11
But the David
years
Wright
ago.
Era is over, so.
David Wright no longer
they
terrorizing.
They can start, the curse is lifted.
Yeah,
you know?
The curse is lifted. We've repaired the skyline. Everything's okay.
Jesus. Oh, okay. No skylines.
What?
Nothing.
Whatever. It's a bar.
Oh, inside baseball.
All
okay.
right. Let's
let's go outside baseball. Let's go into the movie.
Can I sing from Aladdin?
Do we want to hear you sing for
Oh,
Mulan?
God, what song are you going to sing?
You're going to love my thighs. And these guys have thick thighs.
Yeah, someone can sing from Aladdin.
That's good.
To rival Thick Thanos.
Let's talk about Aladdin's.
Yes, let's talk about 2019's Aladdin.
The Aladdin's.
The Aladdin's. All the Aladdin's. Okay, so we'll do like a quick, like, you know, recap of what of our enjoyment or not enjoyment of the movie, however we felt about the movie. We'll go into, I guess, light spoilers if we want, because I mean,
wait.
I don't know anybody who hasn't seen the original.
That's our
and
own
might
problem.
Spoil it.
No. We're not
spoiled.
Doing that. We cannot worry about that.
Oh no, I'm just gonna,
because the movie doesn't worry about that.
I'm just gonna upfront say, like, if you haven't seen the 92 one and if you haven't seen the latest one, that maybe we'll talk about stuff that you don't know, but
it
I still don't know anybody.
It's a story that is thousands of years
it's
old.
It's not obviously the same story.
And they didn't even tell
story.
It right.
Wow. No, yes.
And we're off.
And we go. Let's go.
All right. So, fire out of the hole. Let's go. Nick, you didn't feel like they told it right? What happened?
It fell short for me. It felt like it wanted to be a Jasmine movie, if I'm being honest. It felt like this was a Jasmine film that they didn't commit to it. Honestly, if you would have just committed to telling Jasmine's story this entire time, I think I would have had a lot better time. She carried this movie. Her voice, her acting, her look, everything. Jasmine was on point. The talk singing, like, either sing or talk. Don't do this, like, talk singing. And it was only Genie and Aladdin that did it. Like, Jasmine sang, like, belted. Aladdin and Genie, though, they did this, like, weird, like, sing-songy. I don't even know. It wasn't even like they were singing. They were talking, but it was singing. So it was kind of like it was dialogue, but it was also, I don't know. I wasn't a fan of that. It just felt like there were a lot of cool moments. Like, there were a few moments I was like, oh, wow, that's cool. That's from the animated movie. And it really, you know, you drove that home. But it was like I just found myself waiting for those moments. The movie never really pulled me in one direction or another, I felt. Like, it was like the scenes with Aladdin and Jasmine were a badly written rom-com, but the Jasmine by herself, that was awesome. Aladdin with Genie, that was kind of cool. But it just, every time that I was with different characters, it felt like I was watching a different movie. I don't know. It was weird.
I felt the same way.
Yeah.
I thought it was very beautiful. Like, the visuals in the movie were just drop dead beautiful, bright colors, vibrant. I mean, it was a now movie. But the story just didn't, it left me wanting more, and I was disappointed in that.
What more did you want? Like, what were you?
I either wanted them to tell the original story or stick with Jasmine's side of the story. It felt like they were trying to tell Jasmine's side of the story, but weren't 100% committed to it.
It's tough when the name of the movie's Aladdin.
I know that, but
that's maybe that's where the change has to happen right off the bat.
They were trying to tell this whole big story about how, you know, Jasmine stood up for herself and became Sultan and did these amazing things. But instead of us enjoying that, we were more worried about Aladdin, you know. And it's just, I didn't enjoy that part. I didn't enjoy that confusion.
It's like they try to fit too much into this movie. Like, they were like, hey, let's tell Aladdin's story. But also, did you know that Genie could have a girlfriend and get married? And also, Jasmine is pretty awesome in her own right. She's going to be the Sultan. But also, Jafar, he's a thief. Like, all right, I get it. But
Jafar thing I'm okay with, because it takes a second to do it. And I actually thought that was good.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I think the Handmaiden Will Smith stuff is the best parts of the movie, which it probably shouldn't be. I don't think, like, on paper, it probably shouldn't be, like, the parts that I was like, oh, this is really good. Like, this is a really good chemistry, and it's really fun. I actually thought that Aladdin and Jasmine were fine together, too. But, yeah, this movie seems stuck between a couple of things that it's trying to do. And maybe that's why it's 37 minutes longer than the animated film.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like it really added much.
It has the same problem that I think Beauty and the Beast had as well, the live action one, where like they tried to give you like more of Belle's backstory, Belle's father's backstory, like the whole thing. And like those parts in that were really good, but then they would quickly like go back to the animated, and it was so harsh the line between new stuff, old stuff, and like the new stuff being really good, but then the whole like, oh, this is very, you know, what we had in the original. I think personally Aladdin did it better than Beauty and the Beast. I'm definitely better with Aladdin than the Beauty and the Beast remake, for sure. I had a couple issues with the visuals, like the speed of the film, I think, has been everybody's big thing. Just like that weird, like, running through the markets kind of like thing, and like
The closeness of the shots that they got, you don't really see the whole overall picture. If they were to pull back, you would have been able to see more clearly what he was doing. Like, I like the fact when he was running through the market and he jumped up on those like little things that are in between the buildings and did this like weird, like flippy thing. I wanted to see that whole thing pulled back.
Yeah. But then if you do, like, what are you actually capturing? Could they do that with, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I think Guy Ritchie actually did it better in his previous film, Camelot, King Arthur. Yeah, he had like a very, like, there was a good chase sequence in there. I thought it was better visualized in that movie than it was Aladdin. I agree with Nicole. It was definitely kind of a little choppy here and there. I don't know what was going on, but.
What'd you think of the whole overall movie, though, Adam?
I did enjoy it. Considering Aladdin animated is still my favorite of the Disney films, I was very going in like, okay, I'm going to tear this thing apart. But
I see Pete has rubbed off on you. Okay.
Yeah, I don't do that at
I'm
all,
just joking.
Actually.
I'm just joking.
Hold on.
No, I actually did like it a lot more than I thought I would. I have two major issues, though. One is Jafar, I feel, was so underdeveloped. I couldn't stand the actor either. He looked like he was just too cartoony. It was like he had these plans, but then he's like, oh, you know, we're not going to really go into his background on why. But I know they touched on that number two thing, which, by the way, I thought was a great way to bring back that whole thing with the wish at the end. When he's like, when his minion's like, oh, it isn't too good enough. And he's like, no, it's not good enough. And then Aladdin uses that against him, unknowingly. He doesn't know that. Unknowingly, you know, in the at the last wish, I thought that was a good, you know, circle about that. So that was like my major issue was Jafar, just because in the animated, he's awesome. He's just amazing. And in this, it was just like I didn't feel threatened by him whatsoever. Even his like attempts at sorcery with the salt were kind of like, okay.
The force choke thing was a weird visual because I feel like I only actually understood that they were getting choked when it happened to Aladdin because they showed like the strain marks on his neck.
Yeah.
In the first couple of times, I was like, what's going on? What exactly is this dude doing?
Right. And I feel the climax also ties into the part I didn't like was I didn't like the climax at all. I feel that was just weirdly shot. It didn't have anything compared to the first, the animated. And I know why they didn't do the giant snake. You know, it's because there was literally a giant snake in his previous movie. So they couldn't do that. So,
but you missed the best line with that then.
What's that? Oh, yeah.
Snake like I can be. That's the best line.
Yeah, no. A giant snake would have been a little much. Let's just do a giant parrot, right?
But I think that there's a gap of Rohan, like in between that, because it felt the him showing his powers up until the very, very last moment felt like I was watching Magneto footage because he just put his hand out and then people were like, I'm frozen. And that was it. And I didn't get a visual idea of like, what the hell is this guy doing? Like, I just legitimately didn't know. And it seemed like with a movie with such a budget to go in a direction that was very sort of visually boring with him getting all this power, I thought, like, yeah, I get it. It got cloudy out. But there wasn't much else that was like, oh my God, look what he just did. Like, I never had that moment.
Yeah, because even in the original, like, he transplants the castle.
Agrabah.
Yeah, like, he does, like, a whole bunch of, like,
he did cool add some pointy sticks on the balcony.
Oh, true.
That's the thing. Like, everything.
He's been watching too much HGTV.
Everything in that last, you know, the finale felt kind of watered down a little bit. Andrew, I think isn't Aladdin your favorite Disney film?
It's like 1A behind a Lion King.
That's
Lion
okay.
King.
That's
behind
okay.
Lion King. So not to echo what everybody's saying, but obviously I have issues with this version of it. I think the way I would put it is when I originally started to write notes, I wrote Aladdin 2019 because this is very much jerry-rigged to be for 2019 and not necessarily like the way they make Jasmine a more prevalent character. It's like What the If colors, Genie, but yeah. with 2019 references, you know, like Will Smith's version of it with updated jokes, you know. Mm-hmm. I do think they nailed Jasmine. I think Naomi Scott is very good in this. She has the pipes for the role as well, which that to me is like my favorite part is that her part of A Whole New World. I thought she nailed it. I just want to say as like also a very big Will Smith stan, there is a moment where this becomes Hitch. And that's one of my favorite Will Smith performances. The last 30 minutes of it I could do without, but him being like a date doctor for Aladdin, I thought really worked, especially in the Ali meets Jasmine scene where he is completely blowing it like Kevin James would in that movie. And he's just being the one with charisma, a genie being the one with charisma. Like, don't embarrass me. Like, don't mess this up for me. I thought that was very good. I'm very annoyed at what they did with Jafar, and it's almost a sin what they did to Iago. Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't Alan Tudyk as Iago. This is Alan Tudyk as Parrot, you know? Like, he never actually gives a personality. He never really has a conversation with Jafar like the Gilbert Gottfried character did. I don't know. This has moments. This is a mixed bag. At times, like Pete was saying, this is a new take, and some of the new stuff I enjoy. And, oh, like, I enjoy Will Smith talking to a handmaiden. I enjoy this diversion from the source material. But at the end of the day, it is called Aladdin. It always felt like there's an itinerary that we have to get back on. And it just it's a very mixed bag for me. So
yeah, no, I agree. I liked, just to real quick, and then I'll hit over to you, Nick, the Alan Tudyk was definitely underused. I feel like he kind of gets underused sometimes when he's in these roles, but he had some amazing one-liners that like they were just kind of under the radar enough, but like if you got them they were really good. But yeah, I agree. Like, but then you have to balance it. It's like, okay, are we doing a cartoony live action where the parrot can talk, like have a conversation, or are we doing like a quote-unquote real version where a parrot wouldn't necessarily have a conversation? It's a weird line to,
but you could do both.
Yeah, and I think that's what where they landed, but for...
No, I don't think that's where they landed. I think that's a problem.
Yeah, I agree with
I think
Pete.
They landed in the no man's land in the middle, where they, again, it was like this fear of committing of to one thing or the other in hoping to sort of hit everything.
It's DC versus Marvel.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah, it kind of... Even, see, like, I think, like, visually the movie does look very beautiful, but... I wasn't a huge fan of most of how the camera moved around. There was one sequence where the camera does, I think, three 360s, like from the palace to where Aladdin is, back to the palace, back to where Aladdin is. And I was like, what the hell are we doing? Like, what is the point of this? But
it was the wedding scene.
Was it was the wedding scene? Was
that and they, yeah, and every time they came around, they were wearing different clothes. And I was like, I get it. That's time has passed. Right.
So, yeah, for me... I'm sorry. What happened?
I don't know.
The spinning cameras.
The spinning cameras. You were talking about time. No, I honestly lost the train like you did. Nick, were you going to say something? And then I think Andrew, you were going to say.
I think Andrew nailed it.
I'm sorry.
I think Andrew nailed it. I think he said that like it kept feeling like it had to get back to Aladdin. Like it would pull me, and I was like, all right, the movie's getting good. And then it was like, oh yeah, we got to get back to that story about Aladdin. I felt like that kept happening. Like I'd get into what they were talking about, and then they're like, "Oh yeah, let's flash back to the source material."
This happened 2 months ago with Dumbo. Mm. It's the same exact thing where the movie's called Dumbo, but the most interesting parts have nothing to do with Dumbo. But because it's called Dumbo, we had to keep going back to it, even though Tim Burton just wanted to make a circus movie.
Yeah. What's up, Andrew?
Well, to Nick's point about Jasmine and how this probably should have been like more of a Jasmine movie, and I think they try to make it her movie at times and make it the story of empowerment and how she wants to be Sultan. And like I think Speechless is a very good song. I think its placement in the movie feels very let's pause this movie so that way she can have a ballad, and it doesn't earn the moment that they're going for with this is the moment where she rises up, when actually it's just what gets Jafar from wish one to wish two. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it doesn't feel like this moment that I think they were trying to go for.
Yeah, like yeah, maybe that, if you move that song to like after, and like she's saying like, I'm not going to be speechless to her father kind of thing. Like, I want to like advocate for myself. I don't need a husband. Like, maybe that would have been more impactful. But instead she's like, I'm just going to talk up and make the bad person be also, madder.
Also, the movie legitimately does take a pause.
No, yeah. Which yeah, is, that, I don't...
I didn't know what was happening.
It was weird.
Neither. I was like, God, did she get powers?
In my opinion, that grinded the movie to a halt, man. Yeah. Like, it just, it was like, okay, here's my wish. I'm Sultan. Take her away. Pause for song.
Yeah, I was...
I was like, no.
She should have sang that, like,
yeah,
in
I had no idea what
something.
Was going on. I was just sitting there going, okay.
Well, people were disappearing. I was like, does she have powers?
You want to know Thanos in this movie? Yes. Yeah.
You know what I akined it to? When I first sat down and watched Batman vs. Superman, and Bruce Wayne as a kid, like, starts floating off the ground, and I was like, what the hell's going on?
He's a bat.
And then it's like, oh, it's in, you know, his head. And I was like, oh, thank God. I was like, well, at least that'll be the weirdest thing that happens in this movie. I was wrong. But
Arthur,
that's the real man.
See, cause I actually, I don't really like that song Speechless. I think it feels too new.
I like how your hand went on your hip when you like, I don't like it.
I don't like it. This is why we don't do an audio podcast.
Oh, you mean like it doesn't mix in with the old?
Yeah, like it doesn't feel like that type of music. Whereas like some of the new songs for Beauty and the Beast, like they sound very Broadway-esque. Like it makes sense. But this feels like too new. I wish they would have used the song actually from Aladdin that they used for the Broadway version for Jasmine. I think that one's a little bit better, but maybe it doesn't fit with what they're doing with her character in this movie. But I don't know. It felt too like you were writing something.
Katy Perry pop song, like, I'm so strong.
Or even like, honestly, it almost felt like I was going to say Hamilton, where she sings.
Burn?
No, where she sings Satisfied. Like, it's very, like very strong and, like it's a good, like, she has the pipes for it. It's very strong, but, like, it doesn't fit in, like you were saying, with Will Smith and Aladdin being very, like, subdued in their singing. You know, they're not, like, belting out these notes.
Well, wait a minute. Now, so, it's okay. So I heard a couple of people say this so far. Are we all now acting like Scott Weinberg and Robin Williams were busting out the pipes?
No, but because you didn't have any focus, really, except for Jasmine's half in A Whole New World in the original, like, you didn't have that harsh juxtaposition of
that,
like, look at this great singer and then there's these other people.
That's 100% happens to me when I listen to A Whole New World. It's like Lea Salongo and the dude at karaoke.
Yeah, but then you didn't give Lea Salongo like three more songs.
You should have, though. It probably would have been better. But
not this
one. The patter talk also, I don't think is something I can really knock. Like, again, It's not uncommon for people to do musicals that don't really have like a voice to belt. They're there for their other talents. And I think that Will Smith actually does his piece. I think he does his job really well.
No, yeah.
In this.
I wasn't knocking it. I was just saying that her song felt out of place with the rest of it.
Her song feels out of place because she never... Does she ever fail in the movie?
No.
And it seems like more her movie. And I want my characters to fail. Now, this is going to get into that murky area where people are like, you know, where a lot of people have, in my opinion, very stupid bad takes where it's, we've overcorrected. We got into this recently with Emma Thompson made a quote about this, and I think it applies to this movie, where the women characters were written very badly, you know, in despair for so long and so long and so long. And now we've overcorrected to the point, and this is Emma Thompson literally saying this, to like, not only do we know how to shoot all the guns, we make the guns, we then shoot everybody, and we never have a flaw, and we can never fall without there being this immediate power, this immediate moment. Now I don't have any characters to play that have an actual arc because we've gone so hard in this. And I feel that Jasmine doesn't get to really have much of a she doesn't, everyone around her fails.
Well, like, I think
she has to be rewritten with Jasmine.
I think
the lead.
She's
That's
got
it.
Implied failure, right? Like, that was the whole, her whole shtick is that she her failure was she's been locked up. That was her failure. I haven't stood up till now.
It's not from any fault of her own.
Exactly.
Where, like, Aladdin actually has his own faults, and that's good.
He's self-conscious. He doesn't think that he can do it as himself.
They don't give Jasmine enough to make that impact. Like you were saying, like the empowered song, the speechless song. The speechless song feels so very, like, over the top, because she's serious. Like, her personally in the movie didn't do anything wrong. She actually tried to do all the things right.
She's just being held back by things that are outside of her control, which it was in
could absolutely work, but it doesn't here.
It was in the original too. Like, you had Jasmine saying, like, you know, why do I have to marry for love? Why are people coming here and trying to buy me? Like, the whole thing. Like, she felt trapped behind the palace walls. It was just a different, like, I don't know, level
and
here.
Actually, and I think that that's actually pretty good. I think Jasmine is one of the better written original princesses. You know, I think it goes into the same time. I mean, a couple of years later, we have Mulan. I don't think that Disney was completely hard towards all its female characters.
No, starting with Little Mermaid, they were starting to push
look
out.
At everything kind of does do that, where it's like everything else was terrible. And it's like, not really.
No, starting with Little Mermaid, they started to try and push the women out of those confines of you're a princess, you have to marry a prince, you have to be under daddy's law, like, kind of thing. And it got, you know, more and more as we went
they
through
just
the 90s.
Silence her, though, in Aladdin. I mean, in Little Mermaid.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, yeah.
Body language.
Towards Jafar, everyone, you know, I don't think the character of Jafar worked very well for people. Do you think this
Bring me the lamp.
Well, isn't that sort of like, don't we need to see Vader board the ship? Don't we need to see Jafar sacrifice somebody and actually meet him while doing this sacrifice?
I have no problem with, like, the source material and what
But that's
actually
what I'm saying.
Happens.
In this movie,
I have a problem with the portrayal of, like, the actual performance of it. It's very stoic. It's not very menacing, which is what Jafar was, at least for me, in the original one. He's also, like, their height in the – I know you can't really do anything about that.
Oh, yeah,
because
you can.
You can't have, like, a 6'10 Jafar, you know? Like, you can't have someone walk out of the NBA and play Jafar. I get that. But he just – I was never intimidated by him. Now,
I think for him – I'm going to just interrupt real quick.
Oh, go ahead, go ahead.
I think it was his age. I think that's the big thing that's getting everybody. And I think that is the one thing that, like, if you had given maybe an older person or made him look older, like, if you're talking to a peer, sometimes it's not as intimidating. But if you're talking to someone who's older, who's grizzled, who has, like, because that's how, like, the original Jafar was. Like, he was, like, this really, you know, grizzled kind
wizened.
Of. Like, greasy person, like, that's what you want in a villain. So maybe that would have helped.
I guess, like, I do like the part where, and I know we said we're going to dabble in spoilers. I do like how he gets the lamp back. I do like that layer that they add to this where he is a former thief, which is why he identifies to an extent with Aladdin. So as a result, that's how it's not just Iago steals the lamp. Like, I do like that added element. I thought that was cool. I just, it felt like a very, like I said, how Alan Tudyk wasn't playing Iago, he was playing Parrot. At times, Jafar wasn't him playing Jafar. It was just, I'm the bad guy, you know? Yeah, and it never actually developed into the Jafar that I was either expecting or that I'm used to.
And I don't think it's on the actor, because I don't think he has anything to say that particularly. Again, like, the way that you meet, and unfortunately, you're going to compare it to the original in pieces like this, but we never really meet the villain. He just sort of shows up in the movie. Yeah. And it's the same thing with Jasmine. Like,
I can't really
we
hear
get
you very...
all the information.
Sorry.
On right. Yeah, but it's okay. If it's showing up on there, then it's fine.
Okay.
We get all the information on Jasmine sort of after we meet her. Everything is introduced after we meet her. The first 20 minutes of this movie feels like it is making the assumption that I am very, very familiar with the original film.
Yeah, it was very compressed.
So, unfortunately, I can't ask any of us if that's actually, if it is disarming or something. I don't know anyone who hasn't seen the original and now has seen this, because they're probably three.
I mean, yeah, I was going to say, Sarah and Paul's kids, they're, what, like five?
And they already,
knew the original.
So, yeah, is there anyone out there who this is going to be their first viewing of a Disney Aladdin movie, not seeing the animated? Because the first 20 minutes to me is like, where the hell am I? Like, what are we doing? Who are these people? Yeah. Why is he jumping around? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, like, you, yeah, like, know it's Jasmine because, like, you know the story. Like, you know that this woman who has the veil very close to her face is obviously the princess. Like, you know, it's just, like, you know the Cave of Wonders scene. That's Jafar and the, you know, sacrificial thief. Like, you just know it because you know the source material.
Like, it seemed like a trailer for the movie was happening in the movie. Mm. But the middle frame I really liked.
Yeah.
The middle frame of the movie I really liked. Andrew, I think you zeroed in on that too, is that, you know, I think everyone sort of had it.
Second act was where it was at.
The middle frame of that movie has some really fun stuff. There's a good chemistry between the actors, the four actors particularly, with the Handmaiden, Genie, Aladdin, and Jasmine. They work really well together, and they have some really fun moments. There's some really good comedy in the film, but it's all extra. Like, that's all the extra stuff that ultimately doesn't add. And then the finale, the actual finale, is so uninteresting.
Yeah, because, like, Andrew was saying, the villain just didn't seem to be enough of a threat in some ways, you know?
Yeah.
We also know the ending. Like, that's what I kept getting to, is I know how this ends, and it's, I guess you can't really expect stakes because, again, you know how it ends. But like I was saying before about we have to get back on schedule and the itinerary that the movie follows, I know when he gets banished to the North Pole or whatever, that the way this ends is he's going to jump on the magic carpet. He's going to show up at the wedding. He's going to trick Jafar into making his third wish to be a genie. And then he's going to free the other genie. Like, It felt very rushed to, at the end, like you said, it's a bit of a mess.
Did anyone actually feel, I'm sorry, Adam, go ahead.
I was just saying the whole ending wasn't epic enough. It just felt very contained, very small. Mm-hmm. And even in the, even though you can't do exactly what they did in the animated, you can still kind of go out a little bit. I mean, we've seen recently Avengers Endgame had, you know, some epicness to it. You could still do it, but it just felt so small.
Jungle Book upped the stakes in their finale immensely.
Oh, yeah.
Did anyone actually feel... So in the original, maybe I'm wrong on this. Genie didn't get what Aladdin was doing in the original.
No.
On that, like, he was like, oh, Al, don't say this, right? Like, he plays that. Yep. And in this one, he's in on it.
Yeah, like, he does the whole thing.
I actually feel that kind of stole the moment a little bit from Aladdin.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's this type of person, but it sort of felt like a thing where an actor was like, nah, he would know. And, like, not want to be the coolest guy on set.
I can see that.
Yeah, that's a thing. Like, there's nothing to really back that up. But it really steals the moment from him. Like, as much, like, there's actually in the, going towards something else that does that, in the Lord of the Rings in the books, remember how they had to, like, figure out the password for the door? Right. And in the movies, Elijah Wood, you know, Frodo does it. In the books, I think it's Pippin.
Oh.
And it's like a really good moment because then he does something really dumb, like shortly after, and loses like all that like little cred that he got. And it steals away a good moment from that character. It doesn't really make a big impact in that movie overall. But over here, it sort of does.
Oh, yeah. Because Aladdin was like, that was his shtick, man. He was like three moves ahead of you at all times. And even the genie, he was three moves ahead of a genie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think there was a little too close of a, you know, like, oh, I can't be completely in the dark all the time. I got to be kind of ahead of the game.
Yeah. It's like, what have we heard about those insane things with, like, The Rock and whoever else? It was with him and Vin Diesel with the fight. Like, when they had a – no, it was in Fast and Furious.
Oh, the first – oh, okay.
Where they would not allow – neither actor would allow to be the one who loses the fight. So they had to come up with a way for it to end in a draw.
Mm-hmm.
And this was an actual thing that they had to write around, was the ego of these two guys, like, I can't lose a fake fight. Like, what? Like, Rock, you literally made a career on losing fake fights. Like, that was your thing. So I don't understand what the problem is now. Like, what the hell?
They did this in the movie, too. They did it again, if you think back to when Aladdin was getting out of the Cave of Wonders.
Yeah.
Initially, Aladdin just kind of smarted it out, like, he made the genie make the wish. In this one, he just didn't rub the lamp. I just didn't rub the lamp.
Yeah, like, they added that as a rule, that you had to rub the lamp.
I didn't like and that.
Get that out of here. Because the whole point was Aladdin talked circles around the genie, making him think that he made a wish, and he didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, because then it was like, I'll prove that. It to you. God, and then
I'm telling you right now, that's a thing.
That's Will Smith not being able to take be the man in the dark.
It kind of feels like it. Like, yeah. I don't know, but it definitely feels like that.
Yeah, it feels a little ego heavy. But I liked the additions. I liked the addition of the handmaiden. I liked the addition of even what they did with the, like, genie telling the story in the beginning to, like, the kids. Like, that was kind of fun.
I will say, though.
I'm so sorry. The amount of people who are like, oh, at the end, as if that were a reveal? I'm sorry.
No
did
way.
No one think that was Will Smith in the first part? Like, when that movie opened, Nicole, when that movie started, were
no,
you
that,
like,
I think they mean a hub because the handmaiden.
No, I knew it was Will Smith. I just didn't know what story they were going to try to tell, and I don't know if I was 100% committed to that story that they told.
Yeah.
In the original movie, Genie didn't need another person. He was Genie. He was freaking Robin Williams, you know? He could talk circles around anybody. He could make up any character he wanted. That's why we love Robin Williams.
Yeah, and, but this is different. That's okay. Like, it doesn't have to be Robin Williams. Like, I don't know. That's always, to me, that's very hard to do to a film. Like, to walk in and be like, all right, well, this was his role. Like, look, I'm not trying to defend, like, all these, you know, live-action remakes, but Robin Williams was unavailable.
I also
1,000% I do not think that he would have done the movie.
No.
I think he would have taken I don't even think he would have appeared in it. I think he would have taken the Julie Andrews route. And obviously I'm speaking for somebody that I have no idea what they would have done. But his thing has never been, like, ego. I mean, that's pretty clear, like, from the people who knew him and stuff. I don't think he would have associated himself with the movie at all because of how much it would have been a distraction to everything else.
Yeah.
So Will Smith makes the role his own. Like, I do think that he does a good job of that. I was a little worried because, again, the way that we've been kind of talking is they dabbled with this very animated version. Like, when he first uses, like, a huge periscope and his eye goes in front, I'm like, oh, okay, we are going to do this stuff. And then it's just Will Smith. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, we're not going to do this stuff. And again, it seemed like they didn't know.
Yeah, because they did it again with the map. He shows up on the map.
Yeah.
But
he'll do these funny, quirky things, and you're like, oh, so we're going to do this now.
He does very, like, quote-unquote genie thing, but then it's like, oh, but he can just be, like, charismatic Hitch, you know, like, magical Hitch.
Blue Hitch.
That's what this is, Hitch. Blue Hitch.
Blue Hitch. Blitch.
No, that doesn't sound right.
It does. It sounds fine. I'm sorry. Yeah, but Nicole, where did this movie lose you specifically? Can you, like, pinpoint it? When you were sitting in the theater and you were like, what time is it?
The boat, like, right at the beginning, telling the story with the kids. I looked at Nick, and when we watch movies like this, he's into it. He's taking everything in, and I just kind of look over at him and I go, "What's going on? Are we in the right movie right now? Like, I'm so confused."
The first act was so slow. I was never engaged in the first act. It wasn't until the second act that I was like, okay, here we go. All right, this is Aladdin. And then the third act happened. I was like, what happened to Aladdin?
You know what? Because it was weird. Like, the first act is like the animated movie, but compressed. Then you have the second act that has all, like, the new stuff in there with the handmaiden, with Jasmine's backstory, with, like, you know, Jafar getting the, we're going to go attack this kingdom that winds up being her mother's kingdom. Like, so you get all, like, the new stuff that's kind of interesting and cool. And you're like, all right, we're finding out more about these characters. And then, like Andrew was saying, like, you have the third act that's like, okay, we got to get these three wishes from Jafar out of the way. He's got to get turned into a genie and we got to go. Like, it's just like, it's a very odd bookend because they, like, compress the animated movie and put it in there and then they fill out with the second act. And I don't know.
To me, the third act felt like it was an hour and a half long.
Oh, God, yes. I kept saying, like,
the middle phrase is it over yet? Snappy. It was when we turned that corner and it was like, all right, now we're all in the kingdom. We're all ready to have, like, the finale happen. And then that was when I turned to you because the movie kept going and kept going. And I was like, what time is it?
See, I never felt like I never felt like it was long. Like, I felt like I felt an Endgame. Like, it was however long, I never felt it. Oh, it just was it. Oddly paced with how much they were like, we got to get this in. We got to get this in. We're going to spend some time here. Now we got to get this in and this in. Like, that was, it was paced oddly, but I never felt that it was long or anything for me. That's just, I don't know.
Well, to Melissa's point, it's not necessarily that I felt the last, like the third act. Like, I do agree, Pete, like it does feel a bit long, but I think because we know what's coming, there's this, okay, now let's get to this part. Now let's get to this part. And it, there's no mystery in revealing what comes next. That,
like, and then when they do
it's
it,
very,
it's not
paced. Yeah,
great.
Can I say something about the boat in the beginning? It also terrified me how much I was gonna hate this movie in the beginning with the boat, and I was ready to just like turn my brain off there, like a Fast and Furious movie. Pete, you're the one I go to for like directional choices. So tell me if this would have worked better. They have this character Hakeem, who plays an important role when Jasmine has her ballad in the middle of the movie.
Yeah.
I wish they had gone to it's him telling the story, because he would have been at the palace the entire time. He would have had a first-person account of all these different things, and then he could tell it as a story of how things changed in Agrabah and how Sultan Jasmine has changed Agrabah for the better. And I thought that would have been a much better perspective to tell the movie from, other than we have Will Smith in a movie, we have to utilize it. And
that's
what
thing,
that,
though.
Like, that's what I took that as, is we have Will Smith, we need to make the most out of our most marketable actor. And
okay,
it's why that feels a little
let
off.
Let me counterpoint that.
Sure.
Did it make any difference to you in the original that some little traveling person's trying to sell Tupperware to you? Here's that's the thing. Like, I understand all of these. If not this, then how about this? And I get all that, but you are giving for my take on that, you are giving a massive pass to the film that you watched as a kid, where that thing didn't matter. Because if you wanted something that bookended, and I'm not saying your idea is bad, actually I quite like that. Like movie Hollywood writing script, your idea is insane and you would be kicked out of the room. But like as like a legitimate idea, I think it's really good. But we criticize these movies to that degree in a way that we never, ever criticize films from when we were younger or anything like that. Because if you really dig into scene by scene, stuff like that on films, you're going to find that you don't like a lot of movies. And that's why a lot of critics don't like a lot of movies, because they do that to every movie instead of just the ones that are new to them. They've done it to every one of them. So in like on paper, if I said to you, yeah, well, we're going to get introduced by this from like a traveling salesman that kind of sounds like the genie, but we're never going to say it's a genie. And he'll come back at the end and say a little something and that's it. Like, that isn't particularly enthralling either. Like, there's a lot better ways to do it. You could say, like, we see Aladdin as an old man and it's his grandfather talking to his kids in front of a fire. And then later we pull out and they're in the palace, you know, and this and that. Stardust kind of way. So that's the thing. Like, I agree with you, but at the same time, I really think it's important to point out this kind of stuff, because we give passes, and rightfully so, because movies are fantasy. Like, they're not supposed to be these great auto. Some of them, you know, there are movies that are just fantasy and they're just escapism. And to put it to the rack so hard, the way that we don't put up it's the movies that are right next to it and ones that we love, is really, really hard for me to swallow. I just can't do it. It's like the people who complain about bombers working in Star Wars when Star Wars exists. Like, how can you, like, can you really worry about how gravity works when you've watched already 7 Star Wars films? Like, that's insane. That's you looking for something to, like, not you looking, but it's just a different type of criticism. And I don't think in an animated movie where there's magical wishes and stuff, there are definitely better ways they could have done this movie, I agree. But you also then have to damn the decisions of the previous ones. And I don't think anyone's willing to do that.
No. Adam, were you
at least at least we only got one Fresh Prince reference, okay?
It's my favorite. Yeah, he literally cooks up a Fresh Prince.
Yeah.
Oh, and you see, and if you look at the prince in the background, he's wearing like pink and blue. Yeah. Yeah. Where's my kingdom? And it's
Will Smith.
You'll see my palace. Right.
I was kind of hoping they were going to do an end credit scene with that prince. It's like, what's going on here? You know, he's just standing, he's still there, was, like never went away or anything.
And I totally didn't even put that together when I was watching it.
It's probably for the better.
I, you know what? The thing is, because I didn't really watch that show very much when I was, I didn't like. Beat. It's a show I know of, and I was like, yeah, I watched it a couple times, but I just never liked sitcoms, so. I was just like, yeah, I get it. He's going to learn a lesson. I don't know what it is this week, but he's going to learn a lesson.
What about, I mean, come on. The whole, like, why don't you want me, Uncle Phil? Really? You ain't seen that?
It's arguably his best performance ever.
Dude. That's if nothing else, you got to watch that one episode. That is actually, that's a phenomenal
I'm sure I've watched many episodes. They're like every other sitcom where I'm like, yeah, I know the show. I watched a lot of it, and that's it.
That episode Nick is referencing is like if you were to watch like a Hall of Fame baseball player in AAA, all of a sudden you see his talent and you're like, oh, that guy's going to be something. That
was Will
Smith's lot out of that guy. That was his like perfect game in AAA.
Is the next Will Smith movie not the most Will Smith movie of all time where he's hunting himself?
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to see the ego report on that one.
Yeah. That's the thing, like.
Who's gonna lose?
Yeah, they're like, no one's gonna lose. Are you kidding me? They're both gonna be fine. They're gonna live together.
An alien species.
Married.
Take them away.
Sorry, we went a bit off the rails on that one.
That's
but...
okay. Name of this podcast.
Hey, are we gonna get an Aladdin 2? I would be kind of okay with that. I would actually kind of be okay with that.
I actually kind of wouldn't mind it. And I mean, I thought that's what they leaned at. I thought they leaned into it at the end.
I mean, we got Aladdin 2 and 3, and we got the TV show. So, I mean, if you want to do it in a live action.
Let's see how much this is going to make about. I mean, I think in the end, this movie will probably make near a billion. But because there's not much else coming out that's going to steal from it. Like, the Godzilla crowd is not the Aladdin crowd.
Spider-Man in July.
Spider-Man in July. Yeah, like, is that mid-July?
It's like, no, isn't it? It's July 3rd because we got the tickets.
Is it really? Oh, okay. Yeah. That's a tougher one to like keep your momentum going. I don't know what Aladdin does overseas. I have no idea.
It's doing pretty well this weekend so far. It's like fifth best opening. It? Yeah, 112 million so far.
That's a large number.
And
that's way above the projection, though.
It's just ahead of Days of Future Past.
Yeah, that's above projection, right?
Yeah. Projection was 50, I believe.
No.
Its competition is the Men in Black movie, Dark Phoenix, Godzilla, Toy Story 4. So it does have competition in June, but I'm already stunned that it made 112 million. Is that domestic or worldwide?
That's just domestic, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, then,
or is that worldwide, Nick? Which is
Let me see. It looks like doesn't say, but I'm imagining its deadline. It looks like it's domestic.
It's probably the domestic number, which that's a lot. I mean, that's a really good number. And I think that we have seen lesser films get sequels. That's actually a sequel that's coming out later this year. I have an issue with – I don't think Maleficent was very good. But that's another one where you watch it and you're like, look, everything is here. Like, we can you can figure this out. It might, you know. Yeah, it made like 31 million just on Friday alone. It's a good number.
And Jafar Genie was actually pretty intimidating looking too. I thought they did really well with him.
Yeah. There's some CGI that's fine, and then there's some CGI where it's Aladdin running across the palace roof at night that looks like a bad video game that I just
looked like Temple Run.
Yeah.
Have you ever played that game? It looked like Temple Run.
I was like, this is a bad Assassin's Creed.
No,
what's going on?
Actually, I had some pretty good Assassin's Creed info. I was like, this could be a good Assassin's Creed game.
No, I know, but the way it looked.
Sort of looked exactly like the last Assassin's Creed game. The only thing with Jafar was, I mean, again, like this happens in the original too. I love when villains get like more powers. And they basically just find like a new suit of armor. So I leaned over like when he, you know, got his first change, I leaned over to Melissa. I was like, he just hit level 70. I'm like, he's good. He's in Diablo. He's ready.
Yeah.
But like that happens in all movies. Like
he got the jewel slots.
What's
open.
Actually kind of fun is when it happens in reverse. And they actually do that smartly in Man of Steel. Zod actually, once he like understands how to control his powers, he rips off all his armor and he's like, I don't need any of this. in a movie that I have a lot of issues with, that's such a great moment because it's like the reverse of your expectation where he would like be in a mecha droid Lex Luthor type of thing where he's like, no, I'm going to shed all this because I don't need any of it.
Yeah.
But in this, they take the conventional route of like more powers equals like pretty hot clothes. Like, I always love that.
Especially for wizards.
Yeah, and apparently a new staff, a red staff now, because that means it's a level 5 staff and not a level 2.
No, it had to be made out of a snake. Yeah. You saw that, though.
Like, it was a real snake.
Aladdin broke his original one, and then he conjured up a fake snake and just, you know.
That was also a weird effect for me, was the effect of the snake. It's like someone just popped on a red light.
Yeah.
And it didn't really like reflect in the eyes as much as you would think it would.
Yeah.
It was kind of like
to me, it was more in the scale.
Yeah. That's what I touched on earlier. Just it wasn't very visual at all. It was just kind
Nicole,
of weak
what were you saying? I'm sorry. What was that?
I said like it didn't glow red in his eyes. It glowed red in his scales. Like his scales were translucent. Like they kind of like mimicking the blue in the lamp.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. This also, then thematically, that like visually, like continuity, that kind of actually does make some sense. All right. I didn't
Jafar
think about
only
that.
Used
That's a
it
good
once.
Point.
Like he only actually successfully used the
same
mind
the
control
original.
Once.
Same
right?
in the original. Everyone
really?
Stops him. Yeah, everyone stops him right as he's actually in the first
that.
One.
No. In the first one, he successfully hypnotizes the Sultan to get the ring, so he could find out where Aladdin is.
Okay.
But then, yeah, every other time he's either interrupted or something like that. But yeah, it's
not. He doesn't use his. Yeah, he kind of wastes his spells, and then they gotta read. They gotta. He's gotta wait because
he's gotta drink some water to get mana.
His mana is low, and he's gotta wait another 35 minutes before he uses it again. And that's why he uses it three times in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, there's some weird look. There's movie.
Guy Ritchie
played rules in here.
Played video games. Andrew, what were you gonna say?
Well, no, like, again, this is a gigantic nitpick, and I apologize on the front end to do this, but doesn't he forget that he has a certain power that can teleport people back to where he is? So when they take off on the magic carpet and. Like, does he have sprint and it's just out of range that he can't
send him
all
back.
Of a sudden teleport Aladdin back to where he is with the lamp and he has to send Game of Thrones Iago out to go get it instead?
Yeah, but again, that's...
Again, it's a gigantic nitpick.
It is, and
like,
every movie does it, where you're like,
bad guys
you just
forget
shoot?
Their powers.
Yeah, like, why don't you just shoot the person? Why don't you just shoot a rocket at them? Why don't you just murder the bad guy?
Yeah.
And then the movie doesn't happen.
At least he does, like, go out of his way to be like, I'm not gonna kill you, I'm gonna banish you. And it's just
I love how it kind of looked a little Thanos snappish too. Like, like they were turning to dust a little bit. It was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, for him being an all-powerful saucer, he really didn't show off a lot of his powers, so I don't know. Yeah. It was weird, and they were shown really weird. I don't know. I would have been down for a giant hourglass. They didn't give Jasmine her costume change
but
either.
But then do you do that? If you do that, are you like, well, what are we doing? It's just the same exact story. And then that's the issue that I don't know why it feels more prevalent with this movie, but it feels more prevalent with this movie. I guess
because
really,
it took you out of the movie.
Beauty and the Beast, if this is the one that feels the most like, what was the point?
The callbacks to the original felt like they pulled me out of the movie. It goes back to his timeline that he was talking about. Every time that they would call back to one of these, it would, it would just feel like you're like, oh, that's right, I'm watching Aladdin.
So
crap.
Let me pitch you something.
See, I don't know if I felt that way because I don't know which moments you're talking about, but like some of the moments I felt like were definitely more organic in this one than they were in Beauty and the Beast, where it was like Beauty and the Beast, there was a harsh like, oh no, wait, we're going back to the original. But like this one, when he says
like
do you trust
line,
me?
We're going back to the, do you trust me? Does not work here. In my
see, I didn't feel that. I didn't feel
this,
that.
This
way.
Is directorial.
Yeah, it did.
This
it
is
didn't
directorial
work.
Dumbery on my part. This is going to be me. If you are going to use a thing that is referencing something else that happened, good practice is to usually match the shot so that we see it from a character's point of view and we're like, oh, they're putting this together because we see it visually match. And he uses two totally different shots because we know Aladdin. At least that's what it feels like. Like that was the thing with that particular use of that line.
For me, it was just like her recognizing the way he said the line as opposed to like, oh, he like did the whole hand thing. Like, I don't know. Maybe because I know Aladdin, but
that's the thing. I think it's because you know it so well already. You know, it's like, you know that line. You know, do you trust me? That is something that I'll there's a script that I'm doing a rewrite with that a friend of mine has written, and a line in it was, "Do you trust me?" And I said, "You cannot use this line." And they were like, "Why?" I was like, "Because everyone's just going to think a lot of them. Like, you cannot use that line in this
now more piece. So."
Yeah, I'm like, "Because this is literally the line, and then we have a break. Like, there's a silence."
Yeah,
I was like, "You cannot use this line." Mm. So it's the weight of the previous ones, but yeah, like this one wasn't as egregious. Where in like you were saying, in Beauty and the Beast, we would have like a new scene where they're like, was a bad guy, Gaston. He's like, now he's a total murderer. Like, he's going to murder people. And then in the next scene, it's an original scene, and he's kind of boisterous and fun again. And you're like, wait, didn't we just make him a complete murderer?
Yeah.
Like, I can't. Like, you're using the same dialogue from the previous iteration, which is a different iteration. Just go with the new one.
Yeah.
So how about this? What if Aladdin wasn't a musical?
Okay.
Because the parts where they're not singing are really good. All the middle frame. I mean, yeah, they did okay. I thought they did a good job with the, Prince Ali song and all that. But
that's the only one we needed.
No, you don't need anything. You don't need any music. Just let it be a movie. Like, don't forget about doing everything. Like, it's got to be a musical. I just don't see it as necessary. And like, I don't want Mulan to be a musical because it doesn't need to be. Like, let it be its own thing. And I think this movie, it showed in the brief moments where we didn't have anyone else like doing stuff like musically, I think it works really well. That middle frame where they're having that meet cute of the of the handmaiden and Will Smith and all that, and her closing the door.
Yeah,
I'll be with you in a moment. All of that is the best stuff in this movie because it has no resemblance to what happened in the original, and they're not trying to force a song that I already know, you know, onto me, like, hey, remember this song?
Yeah, the two of them don't go off into, like, a date song or something.
Stop making all of these things musicals because the previous one was. Go away from it.
I'm fine with the musical, but go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you imagine Aladdin if it was shot like Lawrence of Arabia?
It'd be incredible. Like,
oh my God. Best movie ever made. I mean, seriously.
That right there. Like, when I watched Aladdin, when it was the action scenes and all of that, I felt like I was watching a Lawrence of Arabia. I felt like I was watching a Pirates of the Caribbean. When I saw Aladdin with Jasmine, I felt like I was watching, like, one of those crappy Hallmark TV rom-coms. And it was just
Disney, it was a Disney rom-com feel to it. I agree. I mean, growing up with my daughter, like, seeing those shows, I 100% got that vibe.
If they would have just gone the route of Lawrence of Arabia or Pirates of the Caribbean, that, like, it would have been gold. But the rom-com is what took me out of it every time. I don't know. The lighting was weird. It felt very cheaply produced, which it shouldn't have been.
I don't think that. I think that some of the effects are weird. Like, the decisions and, like, hey, how we're going to display this power is weird.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, now with Mulan, because is Mulan the next big one? Oh, no, Lion King is.
Lion King.
I mean, Lion King.
And that's going to have all the music, right?
I think the bad choice here was Guy Ritchie.
Yeah.
I don't think he was the right guy for it.
I mean,
I don't know.
Look,
there were some shots that really worked really well. Like, when they did the whole Jafar, like, when they do the whole, like, flashback and he realizes Jafar was the one who stole the lamp back. Like, I thought that was beautiful with the yellow and the scarf. That was cool. Like, that was really gorgeous. And I don't usually pay attention to some stuff. But, yeah, then there's some stuff where it's, like, you know, the beginning stuff that was oddly sped up.
But let's the weird, that was super weird.
Yeah, I know.
Which, like, look, sped up dancing to match a tempo that's higher, that's fine. But when you have, like, these really wide shots and you can see the guests of this party, like, moving very, very speedily up, that's a real distracting issue for me. But don't forget, like, the director doesn't just pick, like, hey, this is how the shot's going to look. That's actually a lot of the cinematographer and the director working together.
Mm.
But Guy Ritchie trying to tell a story of, you know, of this thing, speaking to the actors and how to deliver stuff, and then deciding, like, what's the tone that we're going to deliver this and this in. That's where I think the slight disconnect happens, because he's done better movies than this. Yeah. And they looked better. They felt a little more cohesive. But points to Disney for picking a director like Guy Ritchie, who's largely known for using, a certain tone. Like, letting him do this film, I thought was a really great choice. And it's better than it just being, like, a rehash of the original visually.
Yeah, and I think it was interesting. I mean, I know like you guys had some stuff with the visuals, but overall I thought it was interesting. I thought because maybe the color palette really popped, I thought it was really interesting. I thought it was really cool that they put Agrabah as a port city too. Like, I really thought that was a cool decision. Like, it makes sense.
It felt like a better city.
Yeah, it felt like a city.
It felt like a place that you could go to. Mm-hmm. It absolutely did. It did.
Also,
that stuff I really liked.
I did like that people like legitimately questioned Aladdin on where are you from? Where's this place? I don't see it on maps right here.
Yeah. And I just, the only thing that kind of got me a little disappointed was they didn't travel the world in a whole new world. They just kind of took a spin around the block.
The block.
I was like, at least go to Greece or something. Show me like a thing, or show me the pyramids. Like, come on, like. It's a whole new world.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah,
they didn't, because like at the end of a whole at the end of the whole new world, they're watching fireworks in China, but here they're like watching fireworks in Agrabah. Which, fine,
do you
want to bring it
China?
Back there? Mulan saved it.
I want.
Who do we have for Mulan? Who's the director?
I'll look that up right now.
I know Favreau's got Lion King, so I'm not really worried about that.
Like, yeah. And see, like, they did the musical in Jungle Book that was, you know, still the old music, but it wasn't the same. And, like, that worked. But here, I don't know if they were just, like, handcuffed by the original so much that...
Oh, that's right.
It had a different audio feel to me. Like, when Aladdin started singing, it was like it pulled me out and it was like... I don't know. Like, the vocals were very much like... It sounded like somebody took a CD and put it in the movie. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like he was in a studio. Whereas, like, Lion King and all that, it was kind of more...
What were we just watching?
It sounded different. Like, it was...
Oh, Mary Poppins.
Well, if you listen to the soundtrack on Mary Poppins, and like if you put on headphones and listen to Ben Whishaw's song, it is blatantly different recordings in rooms that were not the same room. Like, you can actually hear the audio quality change, but you don't hear that in the film itself. The director for Mulan is Nicky Caro, who had previously done North Country with Charlize Theron, Whale Rider, which I think she got a number of awards for, Zookeeper's Wife, McFarland, USA. Visually gorgeous films. I just hope they don't, like, it was a musical, so it's got to be a musical.
Well, Mulan really wasn't. It just had two songs.
Was it only two songs?
Yeah.
There were a lot. When there was Reflection, Man Out of View, there was...
Yeah. Girl Worth Fighting For.
Yeah, Girl Worth Fighting. There's a lot.
There's
yeah,
enough. We don't need any of them.
I would just take Reflection, that's it.
No, I don't think you... For me personally, I don't need a song to show up just because it was in the previous one.
No, but like...
What if it was just in the score? What if it was in the score?
That's fine. Yeah.
Orchestrally, if you want to put that in there, that's fine. I don't want anyone popping into song, though. Why can't we just get a movie that's a remake, a new take on it? Because Mulan could be your YA-17 Lawrence of Arabia.
Now, there's talk that they're going to follow more closely the original Mulan story, where, you know, she was trained from a young age to be a warrior by her father, and not just this... I don't want to be a wife. I want to be a fighter. Like, there's more to it, right? So I'm really excited for that.
So we'll see. But yeah, I don't think that we have to. Oh, it should have this one because this was in the original. Like, no, it doesn't have to.
I think it's a beautiful song, and I think it was a beautiful
song.
Moment.
I love the song. You know where, and it works perfectly in the animated film, and that's where it can stay. Okay. Like, it can just be what it was. It doesn't have to be part of everything else that we do.
Isn't Ming-Na Wen going to be in Mulan?
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
That's what, 2020, yeah?
I think so.
Pretty sure.
Unless they push it off again.
Yeah.
All right, so that was our Aladdin conversation. Anybody have any final thoughts they want to get out we didn't touch on, Andrew?
Well, I do agree with Pete's thought that it doesn't have to be a musical. I will say, like, I just, for Gotham, the blog I work for, we just did a countdown of Disney soundtracks. I've gone through the soundtrack for this a lot this weekend, and I do enjoy the dude from One Direction and the other, I forget her name, but that version of A Whole New World. I do think the soundtrack is good at times, and again, I'm biased because I'm just a Will Smith stan. His version of Friend Like Me with DJ Khaled in the beginning, it was like, whoa, DJ Khaled is doing Friend Like Me, that is interesting. But then you get to Will Smith rapping, which for my money, skill-wise, he's one of the best. So I actually do enjoy that version. I don't think the soundtrack is as bad as some might think. I do think at times it is really good.
I think it's fine.
Yeah.
I think it's fine.
It's more of when Will Smith sings. I think he's auto-tuned to where it works in the movie, but it's still just it's off in me in the movie when he is singing, because he's not a singer, which makes sense, you know.
Adam?
Yeah, I'm in agreement with Andrew. I think I would have just gotten rid of that interruption into the climax with the speechless reprise. That would have just get rid of that altogether. But I want to also give a special props to Nassim Pedrad. She damn near stole this movie. It was fine. It was okay. I wish it could have been better overall, but you know, it's what we got.
Yeah. Nick?
Jasmine. This movie should have been Jasmine. I didn't need an Aladdin film. I could have gone with a full-fledged Jasmine movie right here and been completely fine with it. As far as CGI on the genie, I want to talk about that real quick because I know that's like the number one thing that people are saying from trailers and things. I think it's so jarring because we have such a prominent image of Will Smith in our heads that when you take Will Smith's face and you put it on like John Cena's body, you know, it doesn't look right. You're like, genie, that's not Will Smith. Right.
Yeah.
So I get what they were trying for. But I think if they would have made him a little more lean and more compact and more looking like Will Smith, it wouldn't have been as jarring, you know?
Yeah, because I mean, the original genie wasn't in shape. So
it could have been worse. We could have gotten Scorpion King the Rock. So
he's thick genie in the original, though.
He's got a belly. He's got a beer belly.
He wasn't very like human like in the original. He had like this weird pointy nose and everything. Yeah, and you have a very human genie in this one.
Well, he was animated in the other one. I mean,
was he?
True. No, I'm not. He's animated in this one, to be fair.
Yeah. That technology still doesn't really work very well for me. The whole animated head on the body. Yeah. I don't know. There's just a touch of disconnect.
I actually prefer that they didn't keep him in that for very long. Like, there was a lot more scenes with him out of blue.
I just wanted him to look like Will Smith. Like, yeah, again, those scenes there's no great. Reason that he has to be blue. Just because it's from the movie that I know. I just think that's a crazy way of doing things. Yeah.
Nicole, do you have any final thoughts?
My final thought would be choose which type of movie they want to do. Don't flip-flop in the middle of a movie. It's annoying and frustrating. If you want to go with a movie based off the original, then do it. Do it full to the wall. Make it blue. Carry on, make it a story about Aladdin, not about Jasmine, you know, tell the original story, or don't. Pick a side.
Yeah. Yeah. Stop towing lines. Pete?
Yeah.
I think it just falls into that middle ground of it wasn't terrible by any means. There's nothing in it that I'm like, oh, this is just bad. Like, there might be some weird camera stuff where I was like, that's a weird choice. But nothing to me was like, this is bad. And then on the flip side, there was nothing that made me say, well, this is a reason to revisit this. So it sits in that middle ground of I'll probably forget about it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. And I really wish it was I wish it was different for my reaction. But and that middle frame gave me a lot of hope, too, because I was like, all right, you know what? Weird start. But this middle thing is really, really going well.
Yeah.
And then that third act came in. That really, really just. It punched me down, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So it's the middle ground of pretty... Unfortunately, it's going to be forgettable for me.
Yeah. For me, it was definitely higher than Beauty and the Beast. There was no weird line readings like how Beauty and the Beast opened. I'm never going to let this slip down.
Wait a minute. Who
could ever learn to love a
beast?
Like, there was no weird question high note thing with this one.
There are fewer moments in a theater where multiple people have just stuck their head forward and looked at each other like, what was that?
What did you
And again,
say?
Like, you can't, you know, as I said before, you can't base everything on the previous thing you saw, but it was a weird way to read that spot.
Yeah, and also because Beauty and the Beast followed so closely to the original, I think the changes that they made in some aspects did hurt it. I don't think Aladdin had that, you know, knock, but it's definitely not as memorable as, like, Jungle Book. I think you should see it. I think you should definitely take your kids to see it. I think it's fun. I think it's fine. I don't know if I'd say, like, it's a must-own, but I think it's a must-watch just for fun. I liked it.
If you're of age, I think the movie you should go see this week is Booksmart, and there's absolutely no reason to give your money to Aladdin unless you have
kids.
Unless you have kids and you have to bring your kids to something, I would never suggest spending your money on this when you can go see a movie like Booksmart.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. So that's our Aladdin review. All right. Yeah, we didn't get any of that either.
Thank
which
God.
Is fine.
No, thank God. Oh,
I said,
my
which
God.
Is fine.
Yeah, woof.
So that was one of the many live action / animated things that we'll be seeing from Disney. Next up, we're going to go into Toy Story 4, and then we got Spider-Man. So we've got some summer films coming up
on our radar. We're just getting into the summer.
Yeah, it's just starting.
It's weird, but the way the release is now, we've had major releases, and it's just getting into summer.
Yeah, and the only odd thing is I think I saw that they pushed Artemis Fowl out of August now. I think it's next year, which is also interesting.
Well, no one was talking about it, and it's coming out real soon. Maybe they were like, maybe something is up. Maybe they had to do a couple of reshoots or whatever. Or maybe they looked at it and they just decided, we have softer ground over here to land this film, and it's going to be hard to get anyone to see a movie that they're not already familiar with.
I guess, yeah.
And so let's shift this release date. That, or it's a dumpster fire.
Yeah, it could be one of many
things.
It
feels like Tomorrowland.
Yeah, I don't know how it's going to go, because it could go Tomorrowland, or it could go and or Wrinkle in Time, or it could go...
Did Wrinkle in Time get shifted their release date, though?
No, but it kind of just fell. Like, it was just kind of there.
Yeah.
Like Nutcracker and the Four Realms.
Yeah.
Kind of, I remember that movie. No, I don't. I never saw it.
Yeah.
No, you don't. You're not missing.
Really quick.
Yes.
Just everyone, this is actually, this year is, we just passed, it's a lot of like big movie anniversaries coming up, but Temple of Doom just had its 35th anniversary. So I wanted to give you my rankings of the Indiana Jones films. Number one is Raiders. Number one is Temple of Doom. Number one is Last Crusade. That's it. Have a nice day. Thanks.
I agree. Yep.
There are no other films after that.
And the 50s diner scene from Skulls is as good as any previous indie film. It's just, unfortunately, it's surrounded by a lot of bad stuff. But yeah, they're all number ones. Shut up.
Okay. All right. So we have a lot of guests. A lot of guests do a lot of things. So let's go through all of your guys' things. I know I said my creds in the beginning, but we forgot yours. I just said I'd do them later. So thank you guys for being patient. So let's actually introduce everyone. So Nick and Nicole, you guys do some stuff. Please tell us about your stuff.
Yeah, we run the Disney Duet. We do like YouTube videos. We do Instagram. Just taking pictures and showing people stuff that we do at Disney. So check it out, thedisneyduet.com, or on Instagram, thedisneyduet.
Very nice. And Nicole, you also do some other stuff.
I run my own photography business, which is cool. Nicole Sellers Photography. That's about it. I do everything. I'm a teacher, so, you know. Yes. Life's a little boring.
You legit do everything. You are a teacher. So Disney Duet, follow them definitely on Instagram. Head over to their YouTube, watch their YouTube stuff. They are a lot of fun to watch. Adam, you also do some YouTubes.
I do. I'm over there at MovieGuy365. If you go over there now, I just did my full-length review of Aladdin. You can check that out. I also do anything Blu-ray, 4K related. Just got a whole lot of stuff. And you can also find me over at Instagram and Twitter at MovieGuy365.
Very nice. Yes, you do a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. Yep, you do. And speaking of a lot of stuff, Andrew, I don't think anybody knows all your creds, so please share.
Okay, so I run the podcast network for Gotham Sports Network. We do have a movie show called Post Credits where we go over the box office, review the most recent trailer, and we try to stay away from straight up reviews unless there's like a big release like Endgame. I think that was the longest episode we've done so far. We then try to do a countdown every episode. The most recent one was our top five favorite Disney soundtracks. We just did a Keanu Reeves top five in prep for John Wick 3, which, if I can also give a plug, go see that if you don't want to go see this. So, we are strictly a sports podcast network, though. We're a blog. We have a podcast for every New York sports team. Mets, Yankees, Jets, Knicks, Rangers, you name it, Islanders. We haven't got the Brooklyn Nets yet, because in my mind they're still New Jersey, and yes, I know the Jets and Giants play in New Jersey, but the Meadowlands is 5 minutes from the Lincoln Tunnel, so I will just
say
that. How
far is Brooklyn from New York?
They're still in New Jersey.
Wanted to make sure.
Newark.
Where did the Nets play before?
Who? I don't know who you're referring to. The Nets? There's a lot of Knicks fan bias there, but I'm the host of two of those shows, the Mets and the Knicks show. But if you are a New York sports fan, we've got stuff for you. Follow us on Twitter. That's where we do most of our stuff, at GothamSN. You could follow me on Twitter, at Claudio_GSN. I'm here for the jokes. I promise you're not going to get a lot of serious commentary on Twitter. I'm here to make you laugh with a funny meme or a GIF.
I can verify that.
That's what the internet honestly should be for at times.
Yeah.
It's just a break from reality. So, I'm a fan of the Disney Magic Hour, not just because it's a family obligation, but because you guys are awesome. And it was an honor to come on this show today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you all for taking your time out to join us. I appreciate you all very, very much. I appreciate our family over at Disney Magic Hour on Facebook. Our group is growing, and I really appreciate all you guys there, that you keep the group lively and fun and a nice, safe Disney spot, because there are some bad, toxic ones that I don't like to be part of, and I'm glad that I don't have to be, that you guys are all here. I appreciate you guys. If you want, leave a 5-star review on our iTunes. I'll read it out loud on the show. We haven't gotten any new ones since a couple months ago, but maybe summertime, you got some free time, leave a 5-star review. I'll read it. Definitely follow us on Instagram, Disney Magic Hour Podcast, on Twitter, Diz Magic Hour Pod. You can find all the stuff we do there, lastgenpodcast.com. And of course, you could definitely head over to mei-travel.com for all your vacation planning needs. Becky and her team will get you started on your own magical new world to journey to. I think that's all. So...
Yeah, no, unless you want me to do a review of Aladdin's voice by Harrison Ford.
Nope, we're good. Good night, everyone. Bye.